This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Your number is 877-217-5757. And we do want to remind you that we're on day two of the fall pledge drive. And the number to call to make your contribution to WRKF is 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. 2021 marks 50 years of NPR, and in honor of this occasion, a group of WRKF members will contribute $2,021 if we get 30 more donations by 10 o'clock. So that's some heavy lifting this hour. We need 30 people to call in this hour at 893-9753. Put an 855 before that, 855-893-9753. And you will be supporting WRKF. And when you become a sustaining member at $12, $50 a month, you can get the commemorative NPR 50th anniversary t-shirt plus a WRKF 40th anniversary clear vinyl tote bag. Also go to WRKF.org. We want to hear from you. Please show your support. And we're in studio with William Harold Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana. As mentioned in the open, he received more votes in 2019 than any other statewide official in his reelection quest. And he is out and about surveying the situation in the COVID age. It's been a horrid year and a half, and things are getting better. And we hope that that will continue to be the trend, but there's still a lot of work to do to get back to where we were. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you as always. Thanks for coming in.
Always good to be with you.
Looking dapper. Who does your suits, Billy Nungesser?
I get them different places.
Yeah.
My weight goes up and down, so it kind of, wherever I am at the time, I try to shop.
Well, you look good.
Well, thank you.
You're looking lean and mean and ready to run for something.
Well, I walked into an event, and Mike Strain looked great. And I said, Mike, what are you doing? He says, I'm on COVID. I said, man, you can't do that. So I said, I can't be the fattest guy in Louisiana. I said, we hang out together. We don't look bad together. And so I got on diet and lost 20 pounds, and it fluctuates a little bit since I've had that weight loss surgery years mm-hmm. ago, but it's always a fight. It's just there's too much good food in Louisiana.
There is, but your energy is boundless, so that is a great attribute for the job you have, because you're out and about promoting Louisiana. Your enthusiasm is also immense, and it's been hard to be enthusiastic the last year and a half.
It really has, but I tell you, we've got such a great team, and the creativity of thinking how to get Louisiana tourism numbers back. You know, tomorrow's LSU tailgate with Florida. We invited over 2.2 million alumni to every university back for one tailgate that we served great Louisiana seafood. We partnered with the Seafood Promotion Board to do that, and touched 2.2 million alumni, reminded them they need to come back.
That's from all schools in the state, right?
Right. We still got
2 million people have graduated from Louisiana University.
Over 2.2 million.
Wow. That's something.
So that's one way of luring
some of them are no longer with us, I guess.
That's true. But we're doing that, and we ask in Louisiana to invite your family and friends homecoming, come home for the holidays, instead of going to see them out of town, do their shopping here. But we just got to use every tool in our toolbox to get back to those record-breaking numbers.
Well, tomorrow's homecoming at LSU, it's an 11 o'clock kickoff. LSU is also an 11-point underdog to Florida at home. It is not looking good right now for the 3-3 Tigers, but Tiger Stadium's a majestic place, and I'm sure you will be there bright and early tomorrow.
Absolutely. We've got a whole alligator fried for the Gators, and there'll be Bloody Marys, and I'm sure there'll be a great crowd out there bright and early tailgating.
Well, we'd like to hear from you if you're so inclined. Billy Nungesser at your service, the Lieutenant Governor, 877-217-5757. And Billy spent much of his youth in New Orleans. Of course, he was president of Plaquemines Parish, but went to O. Perry Walker High School. So he knows that city well, and that city has been hit harder by COVID-19 than any other. How are things looking there?
Well, it's been a struggle. But we've got other issues, as everyone knows. Crime, cleanliness, and new attractions in New Orleans have been trending the wrong way for years. We had a plan to try to take the French Quarter and manage it much like the Gaslamp District in California, in San Diego, by the residents and businesses there. We failed to get that legislation introduced. But something's got to be done, because so goes the French Quarter, so goes tourists for the rest of the state. And if we could ever get it cleaned up in a shining star, it would be a real draw to draw people to Louisiana, and then they venture out across the state.
And that brings us, listeners already commented about this. And by the way, you can send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. But you have had some outside-the-box ideas about how to fight crime in New Orleans. Have they been met with deaf ears or people listening?
Well, really, the mayor had come and agreed that we would introduce legislation to manage it, much like they did in San Diego. Four members appointed by her, four by me, some by the residents, some by the businesses, and they would manage the – they would meet with the police weekly. We'd put cameras in every streetlight. We'd come up with a plan to fix every street and sidewalk, make sure the garbage contractors clean in the streets, which they're not, and clean it up and make it a shining star for the state instead of something you cringe and hope there's not another shooting that hurts tourism every week.
Another listener notes that many public officials they don't go to New Orleans, and they certainly don't go to the French Quarter. They're in fear of their lives. I bet you go to the French Quarter.
Well, I've got an office in the back of the Cabildo as we got those museums back open and with new exhibits. And but it is. There's a lot of people won't go. They're scared to go down there. And we owe it to the businesses, those restaurants, and we owe it to the state to get that place cleaned up and make it what it can be and attract more visitors there, because we don't want people going there and leaving and then having a bad taste in their mouth for Louisiana just because of a bad experience in New Orleans.
877-217-5757 for Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. What do you like best about the French Quarter?
Well, I like the restaurants, and then in Jackson Square, the music and just the festive attitude there, which really caused a lot of problems, is the homeless and the beggars on the street that just harass people. We're working to try to get what they call friendly offices to move those people along something quickly, because there's so many bad experiences down there. You're going down to either Galatoire's or Antoine's or Revolutions, and you get harassed. It's not worth going down there. And so we've got to do something quickly, because it is causing a lot of people leaving there saying, I'm not coming back.
It is interesting that a lot of cities with mild climates, like Los Angeles, they have terrible homeless problems, because people who are living on the streets, they can live on the streets in a place like that. New Orleans, it's a bit harder. And some of these people, they're obviously risking their health if they're out in 85-degree weather with 100% humidity all day long. And you say they're not so kind to some of the people who are visitors who are getting an impression that's not real favorable.
And a lot of them have pets with them, and that makes another challenge for law enforcement to do their job, having to take that pet and put it somewhere. In our plan that we presented to the mayor, there is a plan to bring those people to a place outside the quarter, and even had some private money put up to do that. So hopefully we can get that done in the next legislative session and get the quarter heading in the right direction.
Billy Nungesser always comes in with notes, but unlike a lot of guests, he rarely looks at them. When we're talking, we get off on tangents. But I'm looking at one of the flyers, Love the Boot. What is Love the Boot about?
Well, the legislature helped us this year in moving Keep Louisiana Beautiful under my office. I've always been shocked. You know, you go to other states and it's absolutely no trash, and you come back in Louisiana and it's disheartening to see so much trash and litter. I've worked with Keep Louisiana Beautiful ever since I was parish president, but now moving it under my office gives us so many more tools in our toolbox to work with DOTD and all of the departments to make sure we're reaching out to every mayor, every parish president. We've got some great people that do this in certain areas of the state. We want every elected official engaged, every nonprofit organization, every Kiwanis Club, JCs, everybody to get involved in cleaning up Louisiana. And let's hold everyone accountable that's littering. And I think we can do it. I know the people love this state. We have sportsman's paradise. And I can see a day, and I'm excited about having the partnership under my office. We're going to engage Volunteer Louisiana, state parks, and we're going to embarrass the people into doing the right thing, the ones that don't do it.
How often do people get fined for littering?
It's not very often. We were able to get the fine third fine reduced from $1,000 to $990, so it doesn't clog up the court system. We got that bill passed a few years ago, and then we also got a bill passed that they have to teach litter in school. So if we can teach our kids mm-hmm. not to litter, hopefully one day this won't even be a subject we need to talk about. But we spend a lot of money, millions of dollars, on cleanup. And if we can get people, and the cleaner places become, the less likely people are to litter.
And it's a problem not only in New Orleans, but in other places, including Baton Rouge. And we had a guest last week on discussing exactly that, keep Tiger Town beautiful. But Billy Nungesser is trying to keep Louisiana beautiful, and we have another segment with him. Again, if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org, and our number is 877-217-5757, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, day two of the fall membership drive, and we'd like to hear from you. 855-893-9753. Member Services Director Gwen Pelagi says we've got 26 gifts to go to get to the mark we need to receive to get $2,021 additional added to the till for WRKF, and every amount counts no matter what you contribute. And we like new members, and I mean, if you want to give $5 or $2, whatever is comfortable for you, we'd like to hear from you. 855-893-9753. And when you contribute this hour, we make note of it that it was done during Talk Louisiana. We like to know that our listeners are supportive of this hour of programming. And thank you so much for the many through the years and so far in this drive that have contributed to this program and this station. 855-893-9753. Billy Nungesser is with us, 877-217-5757. The promoter of tourism, that's one of his major duties as the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana. And he is not only doing it in Louisiana, but I understand we have a presence, the state does, in New York City at the Macy's Parade. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to have the largest float ever. It'll be an alligator crawling down the street with a pelican on his nose, and we'll have a great Louisiana ambassador singing, and it's a great opportunity for us to get a lot of great exposure and have people thinking about coming to Louisiana.
And the Rose Bowl as well.
Yeah, we'll have American Idol, our own American Idol winner, Lane Hardy, on that float, and we're trying to bring some special guests from Louisiana to highlight all the great things out of Louisiana to ride on that float in the Rose Bowl Parade as well.
Very good. And how much traveling do you do in a given year?
Well, before COVID, we were on the road a lot. You know, we just re-signed all of our international markets because those markets were growing by double digits before COVID. And the international traveler stays longer, spends more money, and doesn't just visit one city. So it gives us an opportunity to get those people moving all over Louisiana. And so as we open those markets back up, we'll be traveling. But we have a team that travels all the time to these trade shows, to meet with travel agents and all these conferences mm-hmm. to make sure Louisiana is fresh on their mind when they're booking trips. We're looking forward to a good year next year with our partners in Canada, which has been an incredible draw, especially for the Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans area, but also North Louisiana. They have a lot of bus tours that come down from right. Canada. So we're excited about opening those doors back up to Canada this year.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Governor Nungesser. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Governor, for those of us who think Attorney General Landry is bad news for Louisiana, is there a Democrats with Nungesser for governor organization?
Well, thank you, Dan. No, but I'm sure there will be at some point. You know, it's there's going to be a lot of people in that race, and we're looking at it very closely. But I appreciate the kind words.
Right now, it appears more than likely you'll be in that race. Is that fair?
We're leaning that way. Yes, sir.
And as I mentioned, you grew up in the New Orleans area. Any young man who is born in Louisiana at some point in his life, and young women now, We've had a female governor in modern time, and we were only the third state in the South to do that. But being governor of our state has a special significance, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, I wrote out Katrina, rescued people, and got angry because I didn't see any politicians ran for parish president. Then after the oil spill, I got really angry that we didn't have better representation in fighting for the coast. So I ran for lieutenant governor. If you really care about people, care about helping people, mm-hmm. and not get tied up in the hype and the grandstanding, and really every day get up and say, what can I do to make this place a little better? Don't care who gets the credit. You can do great things. And I, from my mother, I got the quest to help people. And when you're in an elected position, you can do a lot of good. We never tell anyone that calls my office no. We find a way to help them.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana, good morning.
Well, good morning, Mr. Billy. Good morning, Mr. Jim. Happy Friday to both of y'all.
Same to you.
Mr. Billy, I'm glad that I know that the hurricane got you mad, and I hope my question doesn't get you mad, but it's a fair question to anybody's Republican these days, especially after watching Representative Scalise on TV the other day. Do you accept the results where the people of the United States of America elected Uncle Joe president back last year?
Well, I think you got to accept the results at this point. Whether, you know, I drove up to Georgia to help campaign for that Senate seat where they collected a lot of ballots and dropped them off. Were those ballots filled in by one person? You'll never know. But obviously, those laws have to be changed to where you can't get a ballot unless you're a registered voter. And as long as you can harvest and bring those votes, I'm sure there was a lot of votes that got harvested. But I think at this point, as a good Republican going forward, we've got to worry about the next election. And I'm one of 10 Republican lieutenant governors that have agreed on our own nickel to travel the country to help some of those congressional races around the country, because I think we've got to balance this government back out in this next election.
Now, you were the only Republican statewide official who declined to go to those Trump rallies, three of them in which he was pounding away trying to get Eddie Rasponi to beat John Bel Edwards. Why did you not go?
Well, I wasn't invited first, and I met with Trump on several occasions when he came down for the hurricanes and the 2016 floods. But I gave Jimmy Fitzmaurice endorsed me, the only elected official to endorse me. A lot of people didn't think I could win from a small parish. But he made me promise whoever won governor, I wouldn't run against him, I wouldn't support nobody against him, and I'd never talk bad about him in public. Mm-hmm. And I gave him my word. And 2 weeks after the election, he called to remind me what I promised him. And I didn't think a Democrat would win at the time. But I gave Governor John Bel Edwards my word, and it's the best thing I did for Louisiana. I've worked closely with the governor. We don't always agree. But we talk behind closed doors. I give him my opinion. But when we walk out that door, we're doing what we can together for the greater good of Louisiana. And I thank Jimmy Fitzmaurice every day, because that's what a lieutenant governor should do. We don't have to agree. But we both were elected to do the best job for Louisiana. And having that relationship with the governor, it's allowed me to help people in areas I could have never done had I not had that great working relationship with the governor.
Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on with Billy Nungesser.
Hi, yes, good morning. Can you gentlemen hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor and Jim and the audience. Good morning, as always. Lieutenant Governor, how do you genuinely feel about this ridiculous divide that exists between the, quote, Democrats and the Republicans? By the way, I'm a registered independent, and lots of people are so sick of this disgusting.
All right.
I think a lot of people are. I think the grandstanding in a lot of times on both sides does not help us come to the middle. You know, I was opposed to the Republican, a lot of the Republicans trying to close the primary. We've got more independents and Democrats that vote Republican in Louisiana. And the open primary, I believe, gets the best candidates to represent the greater good and can bring people together. And the far left and the far right fighting does not benefit anybody or any policies for a state. We see how it works in Washington. And Louisiana's come too divided in that sense as well. So I agree with you.
Well, we're going to take a few more calls for Billy Nungesser after the break, 877-217-5757, if you'd like to get in our remaining time with Governor Nungesser. But a reminder that this is day two of the fall membership drive. It's good to get ahead of the pack and show your support for WRKF. You can do so by calling 855-893-9753. We still have about 20 people to contribute so we can reach the goal to get the $2,021 from members that will be an add-on if we reach our goal. And thanks to John David, John D. Gravel, and Karen Martin. It's like Old Home Week. I know many of these people who are contributing, and it's always good to hear from people I know and from those who I'd like to know. So please give us a call at 855-893-9753. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and we're back after this short pause with more from Billy Nungesser. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant governor of the great state of Louisiana and a likely candidate for governor in 2023. And mind you that the primary is now just two short years away. Barry in Mid-City. Barry's been waiting patiently. I think he's still on the line. Rabbi, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, and hello, Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. I have my hat on with your name.
Well, good morning.
I would love to help and volunteer to support as people travel representing Louisiana to let them know that we have a historic Jewish community throughout Louisiana. I am Rabbi Emeritus here, of course, at Congregation B'nai Israel, and I am the rabbi for Temple Sinai in Lake Charles. And I've served our communities all around from here to New Iberia, to Pankerville, Gonzales, and so on for almost 40 years. And I think the presence of the Jewish community throughout Louisiana could be a draw.
Absolutely. You know, Jim Philko, who had talked to me about this a while back, and we had COVID, and then we had the hurricane. If you'll call my office and leave me your number, it's 225-342-7009. I'd love to get in touch with you and talk about that. Absolutely. It's something we've been on the radar. We just keep getting interrupted with COVID and hurricanes. But I've had several discussions with Jim Philko and other people on how we can do a better job of that. That's 225-342-7009. I'd love to get together and talk to you about that.
All right. And the number for the pledge drive again, Billy Nungesser said I needed to say this number more slow. 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. And there have been some people who've called in the last few minutes. Thornton Capel, Patricia Toops, Edward Pagendarm, thank you for your support for WRKF. A few more matters. Let's see. I've got several emails, and unfortunately, I won't get to all of them. Philip Gould, our good friend, the great photographer from Lafayette, says, what's your take, Governor, on the concept of rhinos, an accusation that gets leveled at many moderate Republicans, especially those who change parties? Do you see yourself as a rhino?
No, I get called that a lot because I won't trash the governor. When you look at, I've been a Republican my whole life. My first campaign, I pulled a wagon with Goldwater, giving it out, and my father fought for the Republican Party when it wasn't popular. Unfortunately, you got a lot of people today that tout all these beliefs. They don't really believe them, but they've done nothing else for anybody. So all they can hold on to is that grandstanding, I call it. You know, ask them what they ever did for anybody other than themselves. Did they help a church, a charity? Did they help in a business? Did they do anything? And those people that you can't really find anything, at the end of their political career, you'll probably be disappointed in them, no matter what they tout and say. Because a lot of them, once they get in office, they do just enough to get reelected. No more, no less. We need workers, people that can get out there and try to fit. We won't win every battle, but we need to try to fix everything. And we need to do it without owing our life to any one group or organization. And if we don't start electing people like that, they can tout all the conservative beliefs that we believe in, but unless you're going to get down and do the work, it doesn't matter. And we've seen that in the past.
Well, the governor will be on hand. You can shake his hand or say hello or tell him you don't like him, going to vote for somebody else next time around tomorrow. 8 o'clock, you get started at the PMAC, I believe.
Yeah, we'll have a tailgate and go Tigers.
Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock at the PMAC. It is an 11 o'clock start. The ultimate tailgate tour, and this is saluting the more than 2 million graduates of Louisiana universities, living and dead. Over 2 million people in our state have graduated from one of our fine universities. That's a notable accomplishment. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right, and thanks to great journalist Karen Rowley for contributing to WRKF during this hour. Karen, I hope to see very soon at our coffee group on Saturdays. Great Dr. Karen Rowley, by the way, now working in prominent ranks in state government. And we're inside 20 to go, but we only have 23 minutes remaining this hour, so we need to pick up the pace. Please give us a call. 855-893-9753 is the number to show your support for Talk Louisiana and WRKF. And how's that for a familiar theme song? Most familiar theme song in the history of movies. The James Bond theme that's been present since Sean Connery was gracing the screen back in the day. Remember Thunderball and Goldfinger and You Only Live Twice? I think Dr. No was the first one, though.
That's right.
1962. And that voice you're hearing is of a gentleman who has been a familiar staple to this program, John Wirth, the film critic. It all began 60 years ago. Dr. No with Sean Connery, followed by From Russia with Love. Connery was Bond in 6 films. Roger Moore was Bond in 7 films. And the current guy, the well-coiffed Daniel Craig, is finishing his 5th film. And John Wirt, No Time to Die, is apparently the swan song for the 53-year-old Mr. Craig.
Yes, as you said, the 5th and final appearance. The 5th and final appearance for Daniel Craig.
And what did you think of the film?
I think they did a good job with it. It's a good farewell for Daniel Craig, and it's a good Bond film in general. So did you see it, Jim?
I have not seen it yet, but I do plan on seeing it. Maybe tomorrow night after the LSU game.
Yeah, it's doing well. It opened in the United States at $56 million, which is below expectations.
But it's nice to see people back in theaters. That's a habit that was broken for a little while.
Yeah, so I think it did well in the COVID time for 50, even though that's below expectations, $56 million.
You know, Mark Emmert, the former chancellor at LSU, now head of the NCAA, one of his fetishes, maybe his only fetish, he loves James Bond films. He says he's seen every one of them at least 3 times. And he told me his favorite, this is a few years ago, his favorite guy was Daniel Craig.
Wow, that says a lot, because you have Connery and Roger Moore, I think, did the most of anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daniel Craig, he looks the part. He's built like a 747. He's built like every man in America should look like. Of course, he's not an American, but these guys who can't bench press their weight, who think they can be 007, forget about it. Forget about it. Daniel Craig looks the part, John.
Athletic. He's athletic. And if you remember, 2006 Casino Royale was his first Bond film, and it opened total action. And you could see he was athletic then, and that's something I think a lot of people noted, how physically fit and active and action-oriented he is.
And he's in his 50s now, and he's still put together, and I like that. And he should be an example to all of us.
56 years old.
Is he 56? I thought he was 53. But is he 56?
Maybe he's 53. All right. I couldn't be wrong.
But started with Casino Royale when he would have been in his early 40s in Quantum of Solace, followed by Skyfall, Spectre, and now No Time to Die. And for those who want to tease about Daniel Craig and his farewell as James Bond, Alondra Villarreal has the trailer from this film. Here he is.
The lion roars.
Bond, any thug can kill. I have to know I can trust you.
Well, I understand 00s have a very short life expectancy.
You're a kite. Dancing in a hurricane, Mr. Bond.
Is this really what you want? Always alone?
The video helps, but you can hear it's an action-packed film from Daniel Craig as James Bond, and it is opened in good style in the COVID age. And John Word, I guess you've seen just about all of the Bond films. Do you have a favorite?
Casino Royale with Daniel Craig was great. Yeah, of course, I like the Connery films, and Connery set the mold for everyone.
And a listener notes that Casino Royale, when you said it and I said it, the listener says that was Peter Sellers. He was James Bond in one film, wasn't he?
This is really weird. You could not consider that an official James Bond film. But, in fact, David Niven and Peter Sellers both played James Bond in the 1967 version of Casino Royale, which was a spoof. You may remember that What's New? Was it What's New? No. It was Herb Alpert and the Casino.
They did the theme music. A magnificent piece of music.
Yeah, that's
magnificent.
Great.
Magnificent. Herb Alpert was with us a few years back and talked about that. But that was the original Casino Royale. And I know our listeners have their favorite Bonds. And if you'd like to chime in our remaining time with John Word, 877-217-5757. A few years ago, the New York Times paid tribute to George Lazenby, who was Bond for one film between Sean Connery and Sean Connery. Connery left in You Only Live Twice and then came back for Diamonds Are Forever. But in 1969, Lazenby in On Her Majesty's Secret Service graced the screen with Diana Rigg and Telly Savalas.
That's right. That was a very well-regarded Bond film now. But again, Lazenby, as you said, only did it once. And he had kind of a tragic life after that. But he was a good Bond, and that's one of the best Bond films.
I believe he married a tennis star. I think it was Pam Shriver. I believe so. But anyway, he was a suave guy, as just about all the Bonds are. But my favorite, of course, was Sean Connery. But I think this current guy, he's got what it takes, too. And it's sad that he's leaving. Why is he quitting?
You know, I never really saw exactly why he's leaving. Could be he's done five of them and maybe he wants to move on. The producers want to move on. He's certainly done a respectable job and done a number of films. At least four of those films, four of the five films he did are very, very good Bond films. You know, I want to say.
All right, hold tight. We're going to spend a few more minutes with John Word after we pause for this quick time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal is producing. A few more minutes with John Word, the film critic, who wrote for more than 20 years as the guy with The Advocate. He's still doing that, but he's a freelancer now. He writes in many places, and occasionally he appears here. And the movie industry has taken it on the chin the last year and a half, but there is life at the box office with the farewell of Daniel Craig as James Bond in No Time to Die that is in theaters as we speak. And John, before we go, the film has Louis Armstrong featured. That's notable.
In the 1969 film On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Louis Armstrong sings the love theme, We Have All the Time in the World. And that song shows up in the new film, No Time to Die. And also Bond says the line twice in the film, in the dialogue, We Have All the Time in the World. So that was a nice surprise. It really brings it home to Louisiana. And Armstrong did a beautiful job with the love theme, We Have All the Time in the World, which was written by lyrics by Hal David and music by Burt Bacharach. Yeah, so it's a great song and a great performance, and it's so great to hear it again in the new Bond film.
All right. Thank you, John Work. And a reminder, it's still time to get in under the wire. 12 minutes to go this hour, 855-893-9753. We're within 10 donations now to reach our goal to get the additional 2021, that's $2,021 from listeners who have contributed. If we reach our goal, this will be added on, and we'd like to do that. When you become a sustaining member, $12.50 a month, you get the commemorative NPR 50th anniversary T-shirt and a WRKF 40th anniversary clear vinyl tote bag. Again, 855-893-9753. And in the last few minutes, Gwen Pelagi says that Chris Andrews, dear friend and frequent guest, he has contributed, as is Janet Pace, another person who is familiar to this program, and Samuel Christie. And as he walked out the door, none other than William Harold Nungesser made a contribution. So thank you, Billy Nungesser. Thank you, Governor Nungesser. And we're joined now by Laura Galloway. She is a remarkable individual, born in Indianapolis, writer and communication strategist, began her career at the Los Angeles Times. She holds a Master's of Art in Indigenous Journalism from a school in Norway and a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from USC. She's an ardent animal lover. She and her partner live with their two reindeer herding dogs and two cats, and she is with us to talk about her amazing odyssey, which lasted 6 years. That's the title, Dalvie, 6 years in the Arctic Tundra. Good morning, Laura Galloway.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, this is something not anybody would do, but you you did it. And why in the world did you decide to go off to Norway and conquer the world?
Well, I wouldn't say that I conquered the world, but I my story, my book is about actually moving, as you said, and living in the Arctic for 6 years. And what inspired this, kicked this journey off, was that many, many years ago, I took a DNA test, an early stage commercial DNA test that suggested that I had some distant relation to the Sami people. And those are the indigenous people of Arctic Sweden, Norway, Finland, and the Kola Peninsula of Russia. And I considered myself to be a well-traveled person, but I'd never heard of these people before. And so I started reading about them and became really fascinated. And then I started traveling to the Arctic. At the time, I was a communications executive living in New York and had a very fast-paced, stressful life. And these trips up to the north were just fantastic. And I really loved the sparseness and no internet, no Facebook. And eventually I met a reindeer herder, as one does when you're in the Arctic, and decided to go and live in Norway for a few months to see what it was like. And the reindeer herder invited me to come live in a small village called Kautokeino. And in the dead of winter, 6 months into my stay there, he just left. And I was faced with a decision: do I continue living in the Arctic alone and totally, you know, reinvent my life? Or do I go back to America, where I wasn't very happy, stressed out? And I decided to stay, and I stayed for 6 years.
The book is Dalvie, 6 Years in the Arctic Tundra. It is minus 15 Fahrenheit the first time I arrive in the Arctic. These are the words from Laura. As I step off the plane, it's not the snow or the cold or the bleakness that gives me pause. It's the utter silence. This is the farthest place imaginable from my home in New York in both temperature and ambience. And you brought a friend with you, and he decided not to stay the course. That had to be a disappointment, but you kept trudging on. Why so?
Well, I think part of this book is not only about my time living in the Arctic, but what on earth would possess somebody to do such a thing? And really, my backstory is one that I think a lot of people share. And I had come from a pretty dysfunctional family background. My mother had died when I was almost 4 years old. My father remarried someone who was not particularly fond of the children that came before. And my whole life, I had had this search for a sense of connection and a place of home. And so the book really, you know, this was a place where I could no longer deny the fact that I had to figure out some of the bigger things that had happened in my life and put them to bed and come to peace with them. And that's, you know, that's why I stayed. And I was able to reflect better, but also I was stubborn. And I don't think we have in this modern world so many chances to completely have to learn everything in our lives. over again. And that's really what this felt like to me as a woman in her 40s, learning the language, learning mm-hmm. the customs, learning, you know, every single thing. So
why did you come back?
Well, I didn't. I ended up meeting someone, actually. I live in England now with my partner. So that's why my time living in the Arctic ended. But it's always a place that I will visit and have close connections. And who knows, maybe we will live there again someday.
But you are a person of accomplishment, and you were educated in Los Angeles, great university, USC. You lived in New York. Some people would say you were living the dream, but you didn't feel like that. Why not, Laura?
Well, I think that life becomes really tough when you're just striving to get ahead all of the time, and you have a stressful job, life becomes like a rat wheel. And of course it seems, I think everybody might seem that they're having a fantastic life. And I think social media really doesn't help this situation, but I was really unhappy at the time, just, trying to make money to, you know, make more money to have more things to, you know, it was a rat wheel and I wasn't happy and it wasn't fulfilling. And I didn't really realize that was a huge part of the problem until I really had to be in a place where stuff didn't matter.
This is something that most people, men or women, would not engage in. There is some danger in living in a climate like this. Did you ever feel like you were doing something that was not good for your health?
Oh, gosh, no. I feel like it was great for my health because I walked every single solitary day. That's what you did. And brisk weather and, you know, simple food. So I think that it was very good for me, actually, as opposed to high stress, city living, you know, drinking.
That's not good for your health. 5 o'clock cocktails.
Go ahead and do it if you want to. Yeah, but
you've made your point. I think walking in the Arctic tundra is healthier than a daily ritual of 5 o'clock cocktails. But Laura, you're a fascinating person. It is a remarkable story. Christina Patterson, the author of The Art of Not Falling Apart, says an enchanting tale of courage, hope, and breathtaking grit. Thank you for being with us. The book is Dalvi, 6 Years in the Arctic Tundra, from Laura Galloway. Laura, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And thanks to you who have contributed. Gwen Pelagi says we're still about 5 away, but in the last few minutes, those calling the number that I've said a few times, and we'd like for you to dial in our remaining time, still about 4 minutes to get in, 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. The outstanding lawyer Lenore Feeney has contributed, as has Buzz Landry and Scott Clemens and Jordan Kelman and Les Kirkland. So we're getting close to the finish line. I think we're going to get to the 2021, as in $2,021 dollars that will be added on if we reach our goal. We needed 50 this morning, and we started this show 30 behind, and we're within striking range. We'd like for you to be the 50th person to call and contribute at whatever level is comfortable for you. 855-893-9753. Again, 855-893-9753. 2021 is 50 years of National Public Radio, which has now branded itself as NPR. And when you become a sustaining member at $12.50 per month, $12.50 per month, that's, what, $150 a year, you can get the commemorative NPR 50th anniversary T-shirt plus a WRKF 40th anniversary clear vinyl tote bag. And, you know, $150 a year is real money, but that's probably 40, 45 cents a day. So imagine what we do every day that involves that kind of investment, and this is a major part of many of our lives. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Thanks again for contributing and listening. We'll be back Monday. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.